I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Matt Steinmetz and the Guru.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Steinmetz along with Daryl the Guru Johnson. 2 hours now in the bank on a Sunday afternoon. And time is flying by, as it often does with the Guru. Love working with the Guru.
Talking
Golden State Warriors, talking NFL. And we're not kidding anybody here. Do we have a score in the Green Bay-Dallas game?
7-3. Aaron Rodgers, Dallas kicked a field goal to take a 3-0 lead, and Aaron Rodgers caught the Cowboys offsides. And
then through long.
Yeah, through. Now, Dallas has the best O-line in football. It's 3rd-and-2, and they decide to go deep. So they got to settle for the field goal, which is odd. And A-Rod just goes A-Rod. So 7-3.
Gotcha.
Could you imagine if Dallas loses his game?
It's possible. Wow. Football. Once you get into the postseason in football, it's just one game that can get you eliminated. You know, I mean, it kind of doesn't. I mean, it matters. Home field matters.
But it's not the NBA. I got to take 4 out of 7. You got to do it again.
You look at the Patriots, for example. Every year, it feels like they have the best record in the AFC, so that gives them the bye. Then they get their first playoff game at home is usually a game that they can win, just like yesterday over Houston, and boom, they're in the AFC title game.
But, Matt, you watched that game in its entirety. Be honest. At halftime, you had to think, man, I may be watching some David and Goliath right here, right?
Yeah, I thought Houston had a shot at it.
Me too.
What, 14-13?
After half, yeah.
Yeah. What was it at half?
14, they were up
four. It was
four.
Still 14-13?
Yeah, touchdown would have
17-13.
Texas lead, yeah.
All right, we're also talking about kind of some childhood memories of actors and actresses who we just remember when we were coming up, and they made an indelible mark in our minds. And we had Jeff joining us. He wasn't a fan of this segment, but people on the text line have seemed to enjoy it. So until the FCC gets involved, I think we're gonna continue. A couple great names here. I'm gonna sprinkle in some men
there
actors who could kind of be in the same breath. Robert Redford, for example, the way we were with Barbara Streisand. I think
Newhart.
Yeah, would you put Barbara Streisand in that group?
Yeah, but for me, you know, she wasn't, you know, being my top 5 or top 10,
right.
but Catherine Bach, Daisy from Dukes of Hazzard.
I remember her, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Barbara Streisand, incredibly talented. How about Roger Moore?
Oh, that's
Roger Moore.
I used to think I was the black Roger Moore. Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, man, that dude was smooth. You know, shave, no bumps.
You know, I definitely like Roger Moore more than Sean Connery.
Matt, I want to come hug you.
I don't.
Dude, it's just, there's not even, and this new guy they got with the hair piece, this guy, get out of here. You're not James Bond.
Susan Anton.
And she's from,
I don't know. I just, yeah. the name definitely rings a bell. Jacqueline Bisset.
Now that is that. Nice.
Now she, I remember
That's
from,
nice.
I believe, a movie called The Deep.
Yeah.
The Deep,
ooh,
I believe,
yeah,
is that movie.
She's got some other ones.
We also, how about Jane Seymour? I believe she's British or maybe even Australian actor. And, of course, because we do all sides. What about Warren Beatty? I mean, Warren Beatty was maybe the original male sex symbol for sure. And a couple under the radars here, Barbie Benton. Remember Barbie Benton?
No, she was in.
She had a popular poster, too, I believe.
Okay.
And Diane Cannon.
No, again, forget
Diane
about
Cannon,
DC. Big Laker fan.
Huge Laker fan. She still goes if she's.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been to Staples or in a while, but she used to go there quite a bit. She was a huge Laker fan. Someone else says Olivia Newton-John. See, I remember her more from Greece. Her and Travolta, clearly a fiery pair.
Yeah.
But I remember her
that
more
black
as a singer.
Leather out, oh, that outfit more, she had on in Greece in one of the
when she was smoking the cigarette.
God, I just
I liked her at the beginning of the movie when she was more preppy.
Okay.
And they met in the summer. Remember, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John met at the beach. Then they both went to high school and realized, wow, he's coming here. And she's like, they found themselves in the same school. And of course, that.
Can't forget about Dawn Whale. She played Marianne.
Oh, was that, is that? Dawn and then Wells. who was Ginger? What was her name?
I have. I'm still looking for that one.
I'm sure somebody will come up with Ginger's real name.
Man.
And yes, because it was Ginger, Marianne, and then the other female character, of course, Mrs. Thurston Howell.
Yeah.
The third. Thurston Howell, the third. All right. Golden State Warriors playing the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. We're going back and forth. How important is this game? Who does it mean more to? What do you think is going to come out of tomorrow's game? Of course, the Warriors have lost four straight to the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you're a Golden State Warrior fan, you're probably going to say three of those losses happened to a team that isn't around anymore. This is a different team with Kevin Durant. What do you think Kyle Korver does, if anything, to this matchup?
It just, you know, it gives LeBron another you know, dimension to just cut the Warriors up. It'll spread them out. The Warriors don't have rim protection.
Right.
So now here's another guy that I don't care what you say and what his percentage is. I think he's at all-time low in regard for his career shooting a three. He hit four in Sacramento when I saw him live, and I was like, oh, he's just getting warmed up for this fiesta here in Golden State. But I think it's another guy that comes out of the paint for the Golden State Warriors that they didn't have, and I don't like it.
I'm mixed because on the one hand, I think it's possible that in the grand scheme of things, Korver doesn't help. He doesn't impact the series that if they meet in the finals, he's not going to have as big a role as we think he's going to have. But I think where he may help is the next 3 months of the season with no J.R. Smith. They can play him 25, 30 minutes a game. And what that does is it occupies a place on the team and allows other players to get more rest. And then ideally when J.R. Smith comes back for the postseason, then they have two players able to take those minutes.
Did you think that was a serious request for LeBron? Do you expect the Cavs to add something to their point guard arsenal when he said, why would he come out and say that if that wasn't something that was on their to-do list?
That's a good question. I mean, the
only
point guard,
they don't have a Derek Fisher. They don't have that prototypical.
What about Rondo? Would Rondo help them?
He would be perfect.
See, I think he would be a killer. I mean, hurt them.
Okay, but how? I mean,
it's a hunch, but
I don't know what happened to him.
First of all, he's not that good anymore.
Is that what it is?
He's not the defender he once was, and right now, the way these two teams play against each other with shooters all over the floor, if you put a non-shooter on the floor, he's just not going to be guarded. They won't guard Rondo. They'll let him take 18, 20-footers, and if he wants to take a three.
I've seen it in Sacramento. I'm watching it now in Chicago when they sag off of him, and he just goes into depression of before he even shoots the ball. He doesn't even want to shoot.
Right.
It's mental now.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his. He also really dominates the ball quite a bit, and I don't see how he's going to be able to dominate the ball with LeBron. The only thing I see that would make sense is if you acquire him, and I'm talking about Rajon Rondo, to play 12, 15 minutes a game, but there's no chance he's going to take that role. I mean, he's mad that he's not playing more right now in Chicago, so I don't think he's going to come on to Cleveland or want to come on to Cleveland. He's only going to play 12 or 15 minutes a game. Cheryl Teagues.
Oh, we didn't mention. I believe we didn't.
I can't remember.
Lorne.
Oh, that's really old school.
Yeah. That's actually before the era we're at. Yeah, you're right.
I believe she was married to a famous director, Maestro Sophia Loren, and
you're the director
Maestro Marino, Maestro. I'm sure it'll come over the text line any minute right now. Also, Tina Louise.
Okay.
Tina Louise was Ginger. Let's go to Town Dave. Town Dave's in Oakland. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Steiny? What's up, Guru?
How are you, man?
Hey, my first two picks, Kelly LeBrock, Weird Science, and Tia Carrera.
Tia Carrera, what was she in?
She was in a lot of she was in the movie with Dolph Lundgren, Rising Sun or something.
Okay,
like that.
I do remember her. Yeah. I do remember her a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Wow.
Yeah, Kelly LeBrock, alongside.
That's kind of after the era, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, she
was also in.
Beautiful.
I want to say she was like a L'Oreal makeup spokeswoman, too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Kelly LeBrock. All right, thanks a lot, Town Dave. Appreciate it.
What about the great, one of my favorite shows growing up, Ken Howard from The White Shadow?
Oh, I mean.
Dude, that was before its time.
You know, that was one of the, when you think about movies that include sports scenes
right.
or game footage, that I'll tell you what,
Coolidge,
The White Shadow is pretty good.
Salami, I loved every, that director, they were on point. I loved it.
I heard, and if somebody else can help me out, Coolidge, he was a big guy,
center, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
My understanding is he was from Marin, that he actually played high school basketball somewhere in Marin.
I didn't know that.
I may be wrong about that, but Tia Carrera, Wayne's World. That's
oh,
right.
Okay.
That's right.
All
Wayne's
right.
World.
Help me out now.
Tia Carrera. How about Susan Day? Remember Susan Day? Awesome. Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah. She's
and also too. Then later, L.A. Law.
No, okay.
Remember
Look
her in L.A. You. Law with Harry Hamlin.
She was grown.
Harry
in.
Hamlin, huge sex symbol.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Women loved Harry
What about
Hamlin.
Diana Rigg?
I don't know who she is.
Neither do I.
Diana
I
Rigg?
From the text line.
Yeah, I don't know. Baba Black Sheep. Is that Diana Rigg? I never watched. You know what? I was never into, like, war movies.
Okay.
Or,
you didn't do the Platoon?
Like, I should say the war show.
Okay.
Like, I saw Platoon.
Oh, man.
But, like,
you had a big
like Hogan's
MASH.
Heroes, no interest.
Oh, Hogan
I never
Heroes
watched,
was great,
never watched
man.
MASH. Nah,
no,
watch.
No MASH.
Loretta Swit, though. Loretta Swit. Remember her
wow.
from MASH? A lot of people liked her. Of course, Alan Alda. Big yeah. part of MASH back in the day.
Jack Tripper.
Oh, Suzanne Summers and Joyce DeWitt.
Oh, man. We talked about them. Suzanne Summers, man. Chrissy Snow.
Suzanne Summers, I think, is doing infomercials now for something. I don't know what. Maybe a weight loss thing or.
Yeah, stay relevant. Yeah, I got to get the check. I believe so. I haven't seen her.
Yeah, I can't quite remember. Let's talk a little bit about tomorrow or yesterday's NFL games because. We were talking about the Pats. The Pats right now are essentially on the same kind of run as the 49ers were back in the day. 14 of 16 years they've gone to the postseason. This is the 14th time in 16 years, which is pretty incredible. And then the 49ers were 16 of 18 years. So I started to try to compile a list of just impressive sports runs and what kind of jumped out at me. And the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, they won 4 titles in 8 years.
Damn.
Tim Duncan played 18 seasons in the NBA, never missed the playoffs. I mean, that's incredible. And then,
can anybody else say that?
I don't think so.
Every year in their career, they went to the... Did Magic?
Well, maybe Bird... Well, you know, well, I mean, technically, okay. Bird was hurt 1 year
but that,
that the Celtics
excluded.
Won.
Yeah, but it's still,
so he didn't
yeah.
go to all the right. playoffs. But in his in all the years he was available to play, I think he was in the playoffs.
Tim, big fundamental, Duncan, 18 years, playoffs. That's getting a return ROI, return on investment.
Right.
Wow.
How about this about the Spurs? Because I went back to their entire history. They've been in the league... Either the ABA or the NBA. They've been in the ABA or NBA 48 years now.
Okay.
You know how many times the San Antonio Spurs made the playoffs in either the ABA or the NBA of those 48 years?
9.
No,
go ahead.
43. The San Antonio Spurs have missed the postseason in their entire existence 5 times. I mean, that is absolutely crazy.
So it's before Popovich. I mean, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was Stan Albeck.
Yeah, remember him.
Back in the day. The Oakland A's won 5 AL titles for 5 straight years and then the 3 consecutive World Series. I think you got to maybe put that in there. The Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s, for me, they were unbeatable. I mean, they were. I used to like the Houston Oilers, believe it or not.
4 Super Bowl rings in 6 years, the Steelers.
Yeah. To me, that's still one of the greatest teams of all time because if you can name, like I can name a ton of those players. It was Bradshaw, it was Lynn Swann, it was Stallworth,
Rocky Blyer,
Joe Green,
Webster.
It was L.C. Greenwood, Lambert, the crazy guy. Didn't they have a defensive back named Blunt?
Yeah.
Their kicker might even have been Roy Girella. I mean, I can remember their backup quarterback, Terry Hanratty.
Yeah. They were the standard.
Yeah, anytime names stick with you like that, then you know the team was great. But I used to like the Houston Oilers growing up because I loved their
Pastorini.
Uniforms. Yeah, I love their
uniforms. They could never get past the Steelers.
Never. Never. With Billy White Shoes Johnson and Kenny Burroughs and
Earl Campbell.
You know, we were doing the Montana Young. What would you take, Montana or Brady? Who would you take, Earl Campbell or Walter Payton?
I'll take Earl Campbell. And I love sweetness, but I'm taking Campbell. Earl was a beast.
I think it's a close one.
That's hard. But I'm taking Earl because I believe he could get you. Earl wasn't just a bruiser. He had some Fred Astaire to him.
Right.
So, you know, light on the feet. So that's where I'm going. I'm going Earl, number 34.
The thing about Earl Campbell was I think there was a period there for 2 or 3 years when he was just absolutely dominant.
And it's probably why he's not doing too well now physically.
Right.
But he took a lot of wear and tear, man.
Yeah. How about Bird or Magic?
I'm taking, and you remember I got crucified, taking Bird.
That's right. You're not a big Magic fan. Yeah. I forgot about that. You know what's funny is I think I'd probably take Magic. I grew up a Celtics fan. I just loved watching
Bird.
Why,
though? Why would you take him over?
Because I think now given 20 years to reassess and kind of be completely objective, boy, I thought Magic was great, especially in his prime and toward the end when he learned to shoot a little bit. I mean, and because he was the point guard, he brought the ball up a lot, and the game just seemed to be determined by him. Like, he would determine how a game would go. And he had so many options. He did. I mean, he had a great team. No doubt. That was a great team.
And I know what he did his rookie year against the Sixers, and I fell in love with him. But I realized, you know, he's got Michael Cooper. He's got the captain, Jamal Wilkes, James Worthy. I mean, he's got a surplus of options to where I never felt like he felt that pressure of what his game was. Dude, Bird, what? He'll post you up, shoot the three. I mean, Bird was just, man. And I ain't saying Magic wasn't, but their offensive repertoire, don't tell me Magic had more than Bird.
Steph Curry or Isaiah Thomas?
Oh, Steph Curry. Well,
really?
Oh, yeah, I'm going Steph.
Yeah. Steph Curry over Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I'm going. I mean, Isaiah was a
two-time NBA
champ. What are you
champ?
Telling me? I need a bucket with the game on the line? I'm giving it to Steph.
But really?
Then, damn, in the finals, Steph hasn't, you know, not to be.
I don't know. You know what? I'm not
Steph
saying I go with Isaiah.
Steph hasn't had the best finals 2 years
no, he
in
hasn't.
A row.
No, he hasn't.
Do you think that's a coincidence? Or if you're that superstar, you shouldn't have that on your resume. Iguodala should not be a finals MVP. And it's because Steph didn't have his. And then we saw the end of game 7. Steph missed the rim. I love Steph. But I'm just saying, I don't know.
Isaiah Thomas was so good, man.
Man, when he got hurt against the Lakers and still.
That was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
Okay.
It really was.
That was on NBA.
It's too bad they didn't win that game.
TV.
That was game 6.
I thought they won the game. I'm sitting there watching it like they're going to sell it. And I love me some Chuck Daly. He was a great coach, man.
He's originally from back east. Yeah. He used to coach the University of Pennsylvania,
clean.
Which is where my brother.
Clean.
He cut my brother from the University of Pennsylvania
basketball
team.
Any personal ill will?
Yeah, my brother can't stand him.
No,
I mean,
you.
Pass now. I don't care. I don't care that he cut my brother. I mean, my brother was older than me,
but I
mean, you know, he wasn't that great a player. I was a better player than my brother. He'll never admit it, though.
What's his name?
Bob.
Okay.
He's a... Strange.
Bob Steinman.
He's a strange dude. Right. Let's go to Josh in Oakland. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, man?
Doing
well. Having
That's
fun.
Good. Hey, man, before I say anything about the Warriors, I got to say, man, I would take Isaiah Thomas. I feel like he's the only guy who led, true point guard to lead his team to an NBA championship. Like Magic, they say he was a point guard. He wasn't a point guard. But what I really wanted to talk about was the Warriors, man, in this game coming up. You know, if the Warriors happen to lose, it would almost be the exact same thing that happened to the Cavaliers in 2015. We beat them 3 straight times.
Right.
And then in the regular season next year, we beat them twice, and we all know what happened with that. But So everybody, you know, it's not written in stone if these guys lose. We would like to see them win. Like I said to Guru like two shows ago, you know, I really want them to come in and just assert themselves, get have fun. I really want to see them have fun, man. I really want to see them do something to have Cleveland think about something, because things have just been too normal for them. Give them something to think about. And that brings me to my next topic I want to talk about is Steve Kerr and Bob Myers. I love these guys. I'm so grateful. Being a Warriors fan, I know, like, this is just, oh, my God, I love these guys so much. But they're still new to doing this.
Yes.
Especially
yeah.
Steve Kerr. This is only his third year. So I have a little criticism with that. When you have Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, I hear a lot of people talk about the last shot and the next shot and who takes this and who does what. Well, I'm looking at Steve Kerr, because if you have all these pieces, I can argue – you should be able to draw something up or figure something out to where somebody should get an open shot every time. In late game situations, these guys have been playing three quarters, you know, going at it, going hard. I don't want them to think about that. I want it to be written in stone. This is what's going to happen. And I love Steve Kerr, and I love his kind of hands-off approach and letting him go. But like I said to you in the beginning of the season, Matt, I really wanted to see, we were talking about elevated doors and floppy screens, and they've done that more and more, and I really think he's kind of hiding stuff up the sleeve. But I really want them to get into a rhythm of running some sets, maybe even, and it won't happen now because of where we are in the season, but in the beginning, put Kevin Durant in Harrison Barnes' role and get that thing going. Get it to where you have sets and different plays and different things that you go to where it's not so just street ball, not so
right.
Just, okay, isolation, not so just, okay, pass here, pass here, pass. Like, even if it's wrong, even if you know you can get and you don't want to show your hand so much, even if it means playing your guys over 40 minutes, Steve, and I know I'm kind of going on and on, but this is the last thing I want to say. Steve Kerr in that Memphis game, Steve Kerr in the game against Cleveland, we had timeouts left on the board. I really want Bob Myers to address the problems that we have down low, because we haven't addressed them, and other teams have. I'm very, very afraid of the Spurs. I think that the Spurs might go to the championship. No team has went three straight times and went back-to-back against each other. I really feel like, and I don't want to say it, it really hurts me to say it, but the Spurs have, I listen to you talk about them and then watching them the last couple of days, they've address our problems, and we haven't. And at some point, Bob Myers and Joe Lacob and all the moves, it's, everything's been golden. But at some point, something's not going to work. So I really need them to go ahead and address it head on and not just depend on Patrick McCaw and Damian Jones. And I know it's hard to say because of the salary, but I'm trusting you figure it out. But, you know, we'll be good. We'll be good for years to come. But in this year in particular, I hope we get it going. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks, Josh. A lot there with Josh.
Yeah.
I'll just pick out one thing to address. I don't think they're having as much fun as last year. I think
What the hell does that mean, though? I've been here. Matt, go do your job.
Wait,
how many people have fun at their job?
Wait,
go out there and win a damn
I'm
title.
Having fun today.
You choked at 3-1.
You're not having fun today?
No, I am, but you get where I'm going. This is your, you're getting paid millions of dollars to play. You want a pain? You want a finger pain? I mean, come on. Get it done. And if you're not having fun, that lets me know, you know what? You're not in it to win it, Matt. When is it fun?
I'm just saying.
As Isaiah and Michael
Jordan,
I think
last year,
when is the grind fun?
I think last year was a three-ring circus and a barrel of monkeys for the Golden State Warriors.
Because there was no stress. There was no stress, Matt, until the finals. And when they met stress, they wilted.
So you acknowledge they're not having as much fun.
I don't care.
Or you don't care.
There's no, but I don't care.
Well, don't you think they play better when they're loose as opposed to tight or when they're free-flowing as opposed to...
You would think they were having fun when you're up 14 points in the fourth quarter on a national televised stage. And, Matt, it's not about fun. I just believe that's the wrong verbiage. What? This is a grind. This is something you dream of. I don't want to hear about fun. I mean, I'm sure LeBron and all these guys are tired. The Warriors are too. Fun? No, this is for the haves and the have-nots. These are where you know your history is made. You know that we find out who's a choker, who's not. It's not fun. Fun is CYO. This is not that. Tomorrow's not about fun. I don't want to hear that one, Matt. This is about, you know, livelihoods. This is about resumes.
Gotcha.
Legacies.
Gotcha. Christy Brinkley.
Ooh.
Christy Brinkley was a name that hadn't come
fun.
Up.
Yeah.
The 707's come up with some gems. Sybil Shepherd. She
oh,
was in
Moonlighting.
The movie.
Oh, man.
No,
with
see,
Bruce
I don't remember
Willis.
From Moonlighting. I mean, I remember from with Bruce Willis.
Maddie Hayes.
But she was also in the movie that was supposedly prompted, I want to say, David Hinckley to shoot the president, I believe. Reagan?
Oh, you might,
Sybil Shepherd played a role in a movie where she, what the heck was that movie? Text line's going to come through before the break. It was a movie where she played a young, very young girl, and he, what was that movie? It was when she was very young. Brooke Shields.
Oh, Brooke.
I forgot about Brooke Shields.
Who did she famously date and kind of went downhill ever since then?
She was with the first celebrity couple. Christopher Atkins?
No.
Leif Garrett? Remember Leif Garrett?
Yeah, I mean,
talk about a guy who had it going on. What, I mean.
Did we mention Conrad Bain?
Who's he?
Too Close for Comfort.
I can't picture that show right now.
Yeah, the one that was filmed here in San Francisco.
Yeah. Was that with the Olsen twins?
No, not the Olsen. That was,
You remember Leif Garrett, though?
Yeah.
Incredible hair. Unbelievable hair.
His hair game was on point.
All right, when we come back, we are going to be joined by David Feldman, the sports anchor at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, and we'll pick his brain on some of his favorite actors and actresses from back in the day. You're listening to Guru and Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game.
This is Daryl the Guru Johnson and Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game.
Grandmaster Flash, right?
That's
it's like
great
a jungle
knowledge.
Sometimes.
Look at you.
Makes
Look
me wonder how to keep from going
streets
under.
Of Philadelphia.
That's where they're from?
No, you.
Oh.
I'm impressed.
That'd be Reading, Pennsylvania. By the way, Sybil Shepherd in Taxi Driver. Taxi Driver was the movie.
And
that,
from our man Chris Ball, it was Andre Agassi who dated Brooke Shields.
That was the first
I think they were
married,
power
right?
couple.
I think they got married.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't his hair, right?
Agassi's hair?
Yeah, he had to, I didn't know that.
No, I think that was definitely his hair.
No,
He
has some enhancements.
All right, joining us now, he's a sports anchor at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. You know him as Feldy, Dave Feldman. You know him from Taxi Cab Confessions. What's up, David? How are you, my man?
Matt and the Guru, how are you? Hey, I feel good because you were playing the message coming in. That's right. That's my wheelhouse. That was early 80s, right, when I was in high
school.
Yeah. I loved it.
Well, if you want to play another game we've been playing, we were talking about actors and actresses who stuck out to us when we were growing up, like a Joan Collins, a Linda Evans, maybe an Adrian Barbeau, a Cheryl Ladd, or if you want to go, you know, the men of that time, maybe a Steve McQueen, a Tony Curtis, Kirk Douglas, any actress or actor or actress stick out to you back in the day when you were growing up?
Kelly LeBrock in Weird Science.
She came up.
Wow. Remember?
Yeah, she was also
a few times.
We think she was a L'Oreal spokesman, too.
Okay.
Spokeswoman.
I liked her.
Yeah.
I loved Rachel Ward in Against All Odds.
Who's the actor opposite of her? There was a.
The guy played the football player.
Yeah, the football guy. Jeff Bridges belongs on that list. All right.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you this, David. We got Warriors-Cavs tomorrow, 5 o'clock start. Do you think this game means more to one team than the other, or it's just a big game for both teams, or it's one they're trying to kind of downplay?
If you're going to say does it mean more to anyone, maybe it means a little more to the Warriors. They wouldn't admit it, but because they lost the other one on Christmas, maybe it means a little bit more. In the grand scheme, I think it doesn't mean anything. But for pride and at this point in January, whatever the date will be, yeah, maybe it means more to the Warriors. Just because you don't want the Cavs thinking, okay, we beat you at our place, we're going to beat you at your place. So in that case, maybe it means a tiny bit more at this point. to the Warriors. But in the grand scheme, I don't think it means anything.
Yeah, I go back and forth on that a little bit, Feldy, because on the one hand, if the Cavs were to come in here tomorrow and win, then if they were to meet in the finals, the Cavs would have five straight wins in their back pocket. On the other hand, the Warriors beat the Cavs twice in the regular season last year. It didn't do them any good. So I don't know if it means anything or not, because I think no matter what happens, you'll be able to look at it the way you want to look at it.
Right. I agree. I mean, and the way that game ended before, the Warriors were a little sloppy, and then Kyrie Irving made an unbelievable shot on a play that, you know, let's be honest, Klay Thompson played perfect textbook defense.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, it's one game. They had a lead. They shouldn't have lost it. And now we'll see what happens here. I've seen the Cavs play a lot, Matt and the Guru. I've seen them play. I don't think the Cavs are better than the Warriors. Now, granted, I'm a little bit of a homer. I think the Warriors are the best team in basketball this year.
I mean, they have the best record, and to me, it's a nuanced one where I think the Warriors have the most talent, but do the Cleveland Cavaliers theoretically have the better team because they know how to play together? I think that's what's interesting about this matchup.
Well, I agree, but I think the Warriors are still, and they're getting better, figuring out, like, okay, what's the crunch time scenario? Like, really, the ball, I mean, you know, Gary St. Jean, when we were doing pre and post the other day, was like, look, at the end of a game, the ball should be in Steph's hands, because Steph will either beat someone off the dribble, get a shot, or get it to KD or Clay where they can just shoot it directly. So maybe at the end of the game, they should figure it out where the ball's just in Steph's hands, not Kevin's hands, even though Kevin could maybe shoot over a defender easier than Steph. They still want Steph, the facilitator, to have the ball in his hands.
Feldy, take us back to the Memphis debacle, and we saw, you know, Draymond being demonstrative talking to KD, and we've seen a more assertive and aggressive Steph Curry. Do you think that's just part of the process that this team needed to go through, or were you a bit panicked, like, how is this team going to react, or KD even moving forward?
No, I think the first thing you said, Guru's right. I think it's part of the process. Like, probably how many people you think in their career, in their life, have kind of yelled at Kevin Durant? What do you think? One? Maybe his mom?
Yeah.
Maybe zero, right? So,
yeah.
So
maybe
so
Russell Draymond, might be the only other one.
Maybe, right. That's true. But, you know, Draymond, for all his demonstrative behavior and kind of, he's a hothead and needs to deal better with the refs. He's got a high basketball IQ. He gets basketball. He's smart. Played for a good coach in Izzo, and I think that him yelling it, yelling may be strong, but him sort of, you know, really expressing himself in a clear way to Kevin Durant was good for the team. And they said, look, if we have a play at the end of the game, run the play. Don't wave someone off. And these are just growing pains. I wasn't panicked. I didn't like the fact they blew a 24-point lead. I didn't like the fact that they had a 19-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and that was the biggest lead they've blown going into the fourth quarter in like 12 years, and the second worst they've blown since the shot clock era. But I think in the grand scheme of things, as crazy as it sounds, I agree with Draymond. I think it was probably good for him that it had a little adversity, that Kevin was sort of told, okay, look, maybe there's some things you did that not everyone loves. I would do this differently. And in the grand scheme, they're better because of it.
Yeah, David, I'm with you when I saw Draymond, getting into it a little bit with Durant. And I've been critical of Draymond. Sometimes I think he does stuff that's just not very smart. But I thought there's a subtle difference between kind of embarrassing a guy and saying, what are you doing? You know, that's stupid or you're an idiot. Draymond was more emotional, saying, hey, when we get in this position, let's, you know, we got this to do, we should do that. It wasn't, you know, it was subtle, but it wasn't a rip job, I didn't think. And you could almost just tell by the way he was addressing him.
Right, I agree. It wasn't. I mean, Draymond will be the first to admit, you know, his body language can be poor. When they waved Steph away on that play, and Steph didn't set a screen, and then all of a sudden it's just Durant by himself against Sebo, you could see when we ISO'd Draymond, he threw his hands down and his body language is bad and, you know, he looked pissed. And that, you know, that wasn't the most mature thing. But I agree with you. The way he was sort of speaking to Durant wasn't disrespectful. It was more just emotional.
Dave, real quick, we know you're as tapped into the 49ers as anybody out there. Bring us up to date on the process where they are with a general manager and a head coach.
I think they're waiting. I think their first choice is still our McDaniels and Shanahan. And, you know, I sometimes defer to our 49ers. I often defer to our 49ers expert, Matt Maiocco. And, you know, I still think McDaniels is way high on their list. And of course, Kyle Shanahan, you know, who's still alive and well in Atlanta. So I think we'll wait if both those teams go to the Super Bowl. I think then they would get to talk to them again before the Super Bowl. I think those are their first choices for head coaches. I think Riddick is still in the equation for GM, but he would probably have a better chance if it was McDaniels than if it was Shanahan.
Hey, Dave, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep up the great work at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area.
Appreciate it.
Okay. The other girl I love is Diane Lane. Diane Lane, remember, from Unfaithful.
That's her first time coming up.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a first mention, so we're going to send you off on that high note. Thank you, David.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Diane Lane. That's David Feldman, sports anchor at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. You can follow him at FeldyCSN. When we come back, we're talking more sports. The guru, Steinmetz, 95.7 The Game. You know it.
You're listening to Daryl the Guru Johnson and Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Steinmetz along with Daryl the Guru Johnson coming up on the 3 o'clock hour in San Francisco, the Bay Area, Northern California. And just a beautiful day out there. Before the show, I was talking to my main man, Daryl the Guru Johnson, who grew up in the U, right? You grew up in the U, Union City, right?
The Yoon, yeah.
Oh, the Yoon, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm sorry. But funny little exchange between Guru and myself this morning when we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, Pittsburgh Steelers game that's been moved to tonight because of the weather, because of an ice storm. And Guru says to me, what is an ice storm? Like a true California native right there, my man.
Let me tell you,
an ice storm's a nightmare.
Man, it sounds...
It's awful. Basically what happens is...
It's frightening just to even say black ice.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Basically, if you don't know what an ice storm is, you're pretty lucky if you don't know what it is. It's basically when the temperature's about 30 to 35 degrees, right around freezing, and the precipitation comes down a little like rain, a little like sleet, a little like snow, and it's kind of in that no man's land, and then it hits the ground, begins to form, then the temperature drops, all that moisture turns into ice, and it is just a nightmare to drive and also to walk on the sidewalk and pavement. Of course, that's where the phrase black ice comes from.
And that's why they moved the game,
racial,
like you said.
No racial
none
component
at all, you
to
know,
that.
I was like, I didn't, yeah. Hey, hold on, let's talk.
It's basically the macadam, which is you know, like a road, is because you don't know. You think it's just wet, maybe a little wet, and the next thing you do, you know.
But
you
I go, would never, you know, that's wild, man, black ice.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's no joke. And that's why the game got moved. Speaking of games, the Packers are just clobbered.
Oh, my gosh, 21-3.
Think number 9's going to get a shot? I mean, at what point do you say, hey, we got 3 points, we're supposed to have the best offense, I got to empty out all the chambers here? Yeah, I would tend to be thinking that.
You know what I find interesting is if you compare – like Dak Prescott to Derek Carr. To me, the biggest issue with Derek Carr getting hurt, thing that hurts the most, is that he didn't get to play in a playoff game. So you have Connor Cook has a playoff game under his belt, but Derek Carr doesn't have a playoff game under his belt. And what I'm getting at is assuming the Raiders go to the playoffs next year, assuming they're building on this thing, when they make the playoffs next year, they'll have a team that, for the most part, has been there,
okay,
has played a playoff game, except the quarterback.
So, in essence,
if the playoffs are truly different than the regular season, sometimes quarterbacks have a struggle in the postseason that first year or two.
And they get jumpy. We're watching it now, you know?
Now, Derek Carr is also the kind of quarterback who's kind of, I could envision him being so elevated or such a good quarterback that he may adjust seamlessly to playoff football, if you know what I mean.
And when I saw him go down on Christmas Eve, you know, I was, Connor Cook, or if it was Matt Steinmetz coming in, there's still a chance, and the funeral for that season should have been held there. And some people looked at it and faced reality, but I was in la-la land, like, maybe. And we're just seeing, it was a shame how the season ended.
Terrible.
Because Derek Carr would have took them to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Dez Bryant gets
there you go, guru. Know. He's on the board.
I throw up the X-Man.
He's on the board.
You know, hey, no big deal.
No, I mean, I hear you with the Raiders. When Carr got hurt in the second to last game, it was just,
blowout.
I'm sorry to say it, but it was over.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it. But the game was over that he was playing. It was like,
well, I just meant that there was, I mean, at that point they were already in the playoffs, but it was like, oh man, it's over. They can't, even if they win in Houston, you know, they go down a bit. It's okay. So then you're going to lose the next week anyway.
And you know, not to thumb the bruise, the tragic part about it, they would have beat Denver. And the day they lost in Houston last weekend wouldn't have even existed.
Yeah.
They'd probably be playing today or yes.
But
that's
even
what hurts.
But even still, let's say they could have won that last game to get home field, but they still would have had to use Connor Cook.
Oh, okay. But still, there would be a game to this weekend as opposed to dealing with it last.
Word. Guru and I are also talking about some of our favorite actors and actresses from back in the day when we were kind of growing up in that period where an actor or actress would stick out with us. We got so many. God, we got great, great names here. Lee Majors.
Oh,
remember
was,
Lee Majors?
Yeah,
$6 Million Man?
The man.
You watch that show?
Yeah,
I never missed that show.
And the Bionic Woman.
Oh, there's a name we haven't. Yeah. Lindsay Wagner.
Now, look, how did we, man.
Lindsay Wagner we missed. A couple other names here. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer. But that was kind of after.
A little bit, yeah. Scarface is when kind of she came into.
You don't know me. No, he didn't say
that. I'll tell you what, that's one of my favorite movies.
But when is too much? This
not
shouldn't
that
have
movie.
Ended like that.
I agree. The end scene was a little overdone.
And you know,
overdone.
When he did his friend messing with the sister,
yeah,
I would have been like, you know what, you're a pretty good guy. You know, my sister. That's when his whole karma started to change, when he did that to his boy, man.
Yeah, but remember, Tony was under duress at that point because she was missing. He couldn't reach her. He knew stuff was coming down, and he was trying to reach his sister for support, and nobody knew where she was, so it was hanging in the back of his head. Then she finally saw him. There's also, weirdness about his relationship with his sister. Tony Montana, clearly too protective. Let's go to Lefty in Oaktown. He wants to talk Warriors. What's up, Lefty?
Well, yeah, I was going to talk Warriors, but now you guys got me thinking about Farrah Fawcett when I was a grade schooler. The new girl in school moved in, sat right in front of me, and I became her boyfriend for a week. I named her Minnie Farrah. Okay.
Minnie Farrah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, her nickname was Minera, and everybody, it was pretty popular in sixth grade. Hey, listen, guys. I want to talk Warriors Cavs, but real quick on Curry, and I've heard this narrative for 2 years now. I just want to dispute it. Curry in the finals that we won, I watched that thing 3 times. We don't win without Steph Curry. He hit all the big shots. I know Iguodala got MVP for his defense on LeBron, but also remember Iguodala missing 9 free throws in a row. But anyway, so Curry, I got no worries about him. Last year he wasn't himself, and we all saw that. Here's my biggest deal. I want to win tomorrow, and I want to win bad. Because like you said earlier, Guru, if we lose, we got to listen to these guys for 3 or 4 months. Nothing's going to matter. It's going to be, well, they can't beat the Cavs. And we got a different team now. Look, after Game 4 last year in the finals, we had beat them 8 out of 9 times going back to the previous year. Okay, and so then we all know what happened after Game 4. The biggest thing with the Cavs that gets under my skin is LeBron James does whatever he wants on the court, and nobody on our team does anything about it. Remember last year when he threw Curry down to the floor when Curry was guarding him and we were kicking our butt and he was frustrated, he threw Curry to the floor. Curry went off after that, but nobody did anything.
Right.
You know, the J.R. Smith running through Draymond Green screens twice in the finals, just running them over, and same thing with LeBron running Curry. We need to get tough. I mean, I don't care if it's a fight. I don't care if it's a flagrant foul. I mean, we got David West. I'm like, this guy's going to be good for this series, David West. He's a tough guy. I'm just tired of getting punked on by the Cavs. I watch all the Cavs games. There's no doubt in my mind we're the better team, all in all. Defensively, we're better. I mean, watch LeBron James on defense. He makes a spectacular play, but most of the time, this guy stands around. He doesn't guard anybody. I say we go after him. Just make him play defense. The guy gets away from every game with one, two fouls. Tristan Thompson's bowling the china shop. They let him do whatever. And so you know what? If the refs are going to let them do it, either we do it or we fight back or we do something about it. You can't just sit there and take it. I'm tired of it. I hate Cleveland. It's Hatfields and McCoys. I'm telling you guys, I'm too old for Twitter, but I get onto it. I mean, I hate Cleveland. I hate the Cavaliers. LeBron James is Mount Rushmore, but he's as genuine as a $3 bill. Can't stand the guy's phony act. So, yeah, I want a beat down. I want to have Cleveland think about that for 3 or 4 months, all not right. us.
All right.
Thanks, I love the show.
Hey, thanks, Lefty. Appreciate
wow,
the passion,
let it
too.
Out. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say, and everything he says makes perfect sense logically. The problem is the Warriors have put together a finesse team.
Right, they're no goons,
so,
but Draymond.
I mean, yeah, Draymond can knock somebody down, or David West could knock somebody down, but Durant's not gonna, Clay's not gonna, Curry's not gonna. And then
is that a flaw, Matt? It sounds like maybe.
It could be. It could end up being a flaw. I mean, it was a flaw against Memphis. They weren't tough enough to beat Memphis.
It was men amongst boys.
And, yeah, the other thing is if you want to get physical and you want to put somebody down, you know, if if Draymond Green is the one who does it and then he ends up getting thrown out,
you're right.
Now you're even less physical
than normal.
And I'm wondering,
that is a great point, because I'm starting to wonder when people look at Draymond, like, what is he doing? Is it unfair to him? Because he's the only one to have to create that energy, that synergy for the whole team, Matt, because there's nobody else that will, you know, get nasty per se. He has to do it for the whole team. And that can be a lot.
Definitely.
That we know he doesn't get credit for.
Definitely. And I think you can see that a lot of times when you're watching the Warriors and somebody will beat one of their guards to the basket and Draymond won't be able to help in time and the ball will come through the net and he'll get it and he'll be noticeably upset at the guy who got beat on the perimeter and the help that didn't come fast enough. And you'll see him shaking his head or slamming the ball down. He gets very upset about the Warriors' lack of defense at times. I think that's the one thing that could derail the Warriors and Draymond Green, and that is Draymond is most volatile, I think, when he feels like he's getting taken for granted. And I think he's willing to buy in to not taking as many shots. I think he's willing to buy in to passing the ball, to being a glue guy. But darn it, the other guys have to make some sacrifices too, mostly on the defensive end. And if he doesn't see that, he gets mad.
And I'm wondering now, you know, I almost want to apologize to Dre. Maybe he some nights wants somebody to be the Draymond for him.
Yeah, no
doubt.
Yes, great point.
To pass the mantle for him. Dude, that is that's a load.
Great call. All right, when we come back, we are going to check in with Jim Cosimore, the host of Sports Talk Live on Comcast Sportsnet. He also does some work for pre- and post-game Sacramento Kings shows. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 The Game.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend
or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.